Good evening, everyone. This is Sharon, and this is our third Thursday for January 2022. We are very fortunate tonight to have some guests from the My Ombudsman program of the Disability Policy Consortium. And I'd like to thank Cheryl Cummings for this suggestion of having them speak with us. Tim Cummings is our host. And I want to mention that one of our presenters tonight, Lori, uses an interpreter as she is deaf. And so what they are asking is that we be mindful of that. And when you speak, say your name first so that the interpreter can give that to Lori, and also make sure not to interrupt each other and to take turns. So why don't we start with Leslie, who's the director, if you would, Leslie, please.
This is Leslie Diaz. I'm the director of My Ombudsman, and I am also very grateful to Cheryl and all of you for having both Lori and I here to talk about our program. We're a free resource that's available to all MassHealth members, and that's what we're trying to get the word out about. And we want to definitely get as much information from the communities that we serve about what issues they're seeing with MassHealth and how we can probably, you know, try to bring those issues to the forefront. So in my role, I've been in this particular role for about a year and a couple months now. But prior to the directorship role, I was an ombudsman, and I worked one-on-one with members of MassHealth plans to try to figure out how we could solve their care coordination issues. Maybe they were having accessibility issues with their doctor's offices or their health plans. But as a whole, Lori, I think you'll go into that a little bit more with the types of issues that we encounter at our program when members reach out to us. But one really important thing to us is to make sure that we help people feel supported and get the care that they need in general from their health plans, from their doctors, from their therapists, from anyone who they interact with. Because as we all know, the healthcare system, especially the health insurance system, can be really complicated. And I'm not sure how many of y'all now or how many folks usually who attend this call have MassHealth, but whether you have MassHealth or know someone who has had MassHealth, it can be a tricky process trying to get your questions answered. And with all the policy changes all the time, especially during COVID, we really try to help people stay up to date and know what their rights are as a member of MassHealth. So we're really fortunate to be in this position where we have staff who speak various languages. Some of us have been MassHealth members ourselves, or still are. And the large part of our staff are people with disabilities, whether it's a mental health condition like myself, or people who have other experience with lived experience or know someone. So we come from that community of disability rights. And that's just a little bit about us and why we do what we do. Lori, did you want to add anything to that? Maybe tell a little bit about your role too.
Sure. This is Lori. Hello, everyone. I'm Lori Seedman, and I'm the Director of Deaf Services for the My Ombudsman program. Before becoming director, I worked for about 2 years as an ombudsman, specialized in handling situations for the deaf and hard of hearing members who may be also MassHealth members. I'm deaf, as Sharon had mentioned, and I am legally blind. So I am really happy to be here with Leslie tonight. Thank you for the invitation. Working before being the director of deaf services, as I mentioned, working as an ombudsman, we often field calls. We have what we refer to as the call center, and a member would call through the phone line or send an email, and it would be handled by one of our community liaisons, who is a representative of our agency who does the intake information for the person making the contact to us. And we field many calls, and then ultimately those cases would be assigned to an ombudsman. We have sometimes people reach out to us with issues related to accessibility, potentially with maybe some equipment, if someone were to use diabetes equipment, for example, and not be able to see the print or the font on the machine, or to handle things being accessible as far as prescription information, or you know, different things that we might need to join the meeting to a plan, a health plan on behalf of the member, to help make sure that accommodations are made so the member is able to access their benefits. Other times we do field information, we field intake information from members who maybe have had issues with their prescriptions. And say, for example, a person can't see a reminder on their phone, they might need some specialized equipment, that we could reach out to the plan and make sure that the equipment is appropriately satisfactory to help remind people and alert them to the need to take their medication. Often, information that is printed from health plans and from MassHealth, you know, we can reach out and make sure that those are accessible. If they are just regular font and you need a larger print, that's an option, or materials in Braille. So all those sorts of accessibility issues, there's a whole long laundry list of issues specifically related to vision, but obviously we field a lot of just general issues as well. Things like a prescription denial at CVS and going round and round with the pharmacist about what the issue is. There could be a coding issue or an authorization issue. Members can reach out to us and we can help investigate and solve, and maybe potentially reach out to, for example, the pharmacist and find out what the issue is, and then the provider to see how things can be resolved. We have sort of a prioritization, a triage, so to speak, to see if something is more of a routine issue that isn't time sensitive or urgent, and then others that are more time sensitive. If there's a life-saving medication that is about to run out, for example, that is needing to be refilled more quickly, those can be expedited more expediently, and we can help figure out the solution. Our community liaisons, as I mentioned, do take the intake, and then we kind of figure out how those are assessed as far as the urgency and the nature of the incident, of the situation. We handle questions with PCA and long-term services and supports and medical transportation and any sort of coverage issue that would be available to a MassHealth member under their MassHealth services and benefits.
This is Sharon. Thank you very much, Lori. It sounds like a huge amount of work. And having dealt a little bit with MassHealth myself when I was working for Mass Commission for the Blind, I know that it's a very complex system. So my first question, and then we'll open it up to other people, is how did you get to be familiar with everything with MassHealth? And are the MassHealth workers familiar with you so that you can quickly get to them when there's an issue?
That's a great question, Sharon. Thank you. This is Lori. And we do work in partnership with MassHealth, but we are an independent organization. So we work together with MassHealth. However, we are separate. We don't have access to the MassHealth systems. We do not have access to the things that they can see in their databases and so forth. We do provide our data and information to them and we are contracted to provide services to them as MassHealth, as partners to MassHealth. Leslie, would you like to expound on that a little bit more?
This is Leslie. Yeah, I'll say that, as Lori mentioned, we are in partnership with MassHealth. So we do have contacts at all of the MassHealth health plans, including some of the major offices there, like the Long-Term Services and Supports Office, which just means, like you said, we'd be able to get to an answer and get, hopefully you get resolution as quickly as we can. It really depends on the issue. But we have, because of that partnership with MassHealth, we can easily get in touch with various people at different levels of the system.
This is Sharon. I would just like to mention to people who have just joined that we are saying our names when we speak. Laurie is being assisted by Kristen, her interpreter. So that's really important to be able to know who's speaking. And we have to be careful to not interrupt each other. So I'd like to open it up for questions. I have a few more, but I want to hear from other people. And I'd also like to get the contact information a couple of times from Leslie or Laurie for the people who are on the call. Thank you. Tim, do you want to raise hand?
Yes. So this is Tim, and I'm going to give everybody instructions in case you've forgotten. To raise your hand on the PC is Alt, the Alt key plus the letter Y to raise. And there's David. he's jumping at the bit here. To raise it on the Mac is option Y, excuse me. If you're in the app on the iPhone, it's under the More button. And if you're on the phone, it's *9. So let me, at this point, jump to David. Go ahead, David. Hello.
This is David. So this is like Jeopardy. You raise your hand before you even know what the question is. So I just want to be first. So I do have a question. So when you say you're independent, could you sort of clarify a bit, you know, what exactly is your legal status, how you're organized, who you're answerable to? I'm assuming you're not a state agency, but just sort of clarify what you mean by independent in terms of your governance, who you're answerable to, and so on.
This is Leslie. David, I'll answer that question. It's definitely just hopefully not as complicated as MassHealth, but just could be just as complicated. So when MassHealth in 2018 underwent restructuring and created all these managed care plans, they put out a bid for nonprofit to provide their ombudsman services. It was part of their obligation to provide ombudsman services to their membership. However, because an ombudsman program, generally, the term ombudsman means someone who's impartial, someone who's a mediator, neutral. So they were looking to fulfill this program via an independent nonprofit. So meaning that we're not housed in MassHealth. And as Lori said, we don't have the access to the records that MassHealth staff members would. However, we are contracted by them to provide these services. So ultimately, we are answerable both to MassHealth members and MassHealth itself, as well as the overarching organization that we're a part of. We are part of a larger organization called the Disability Policy Consortium. And so they're technically the folks who hold the funds and disperse them. MassHealth are the folks who disperse them to our organization, the Disability Policy Consortium, and that funds this program, My Ombudsman. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you. It answers my second question too, which was, do you have any relationship with the DPC? So you're the Ombudsman folks who, you know, I see in the DPC newsletter talked about. So that question is answered. Thank you.
This is Lori. Just to add, We do often become featured in the DPC newsletter, and we also have our own My Ombudsman newsletter as well. So you're welcome to check out our website and get on our mailing list as well. That would be really good to have more of you receive our correspondences that way.
This is Sharon. Could you tell us the website URL, please?
Sure. We do have our website, which is www.myombudsman.org. And that is a fully accessible website. We just recently overhauled the entire website, and it's quite nice. There are a lot of accessibility features built in. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive our newsletter, and you can also see the archived newsletters as they are stored on our website.
This is Leslie. I was just going to add about the website. We would love feedback if there are any features on here that are not accessible or you're running into issues with the widget, let us know the accessibility widget. But we really would appreciate feedback since Lori said we went through a major overhaul of it. So we've hopefully brought it up to date and made it accessible and interesting to look at.
Well, I will ask a question. This is Sharon. Actually, two. The first one is, one of the major problems that I hear about people with MassHealth is the actual getting on to MassHealth in the first place because of the enormous amount of paperwork. And I wonder if that's something that you can assist people with, do a form for them over the phone, or whether you do any home visits. And my second question would be, have you been coming up against a lot of telehealth in the pandemic, and have the ways that people have been accessing it been accessible? The platforms that MassHealth is using. Thank you.
This is Lori. For your first question, unfortunately, we are not able to assist with eligibility and enrollment.
But we
have the option to refer to agencies that are able to assist. And we have good ongoing relationships with those agencies. One, for example, is called Healthcare for All. And they do work to assist with enrollment and eligibility questions. Depending on if a person were duly eligible, for example, for Medicaid and Medicare, then we could refer them to Shine as well. But we do have wonderful people that we work with at Healthcare for All that can field enrollment questions. They can help with for individuals who are under 65 years old, they can help enrollment with forms by telephone or virtually and also in person. Your second question, as far as my personal experience as a MassHealth member, I have experienced some barriers with telehealth. And in some cases, offices have refused to provide that service as telehealth. But we do help with members with that situation. We would often reach out to help figure out if the doctor is refusing or a specific provider is refusing telehealth as a reasonable accommodation. But we try to kind of investigate and figure out a successful resolution to the satisfaction of the member. And we're not always successful, but it does depend on the provider and depends on the technology and the platform and so forth. Just to add also, this is Lori. When we confer with the health plan, the healthcare team is also often able to help kind of troubleshoot different a variety of issues and then helps us work towards a solution as well.
This is Leslie. Sharon, I definitely want to hear more about the telehealth issues that you've potentially either experienced yourself or know of others who have, because as Lori said, we've definitely heard a variety of them. Especially over the pandemic, but they've ranged from folks who, really felt that having telehealth visits were quite an advantage to those who felt like they were at a disadvantage with having telehealth visits only. So perhaps you've heard the same thing.
This is Sharon. I actually haven't worked with MassHealth members myself, but I have been using telehealth through my own health plan. And mostly it has worked well. I think the some of the issues for blind people are that the platform may not work. Like Zoom is very good. WebEx, not so much. So you have to try to find out what your particular doctor or therapist is using. And it happened to me one time that one person I was meeting with, it was a totally new platform to me. And I got the text about it like 2 minutes before we were to start to meet. Fortunately, it was I was able to get in and I was able to talk with a person. But I don't think there's a lot of understanding on behalf of providers that not everything is accessible in telehealth.
David, I do have another question. This is more of a detailed thing. You may or may not know the answer. And it relates to diabetes. I've heard, I don't know if this is Massachusetts specific or which state, or if it varies by state, in terms of eligibility to pay for continuous glucose monitors, Fluce, Freestyle Libres, Dexcom, and so on. Heard some things sound pretty absurd to me, but, you know, of course, we're talking about the healthcare system here. Where to be eligible for one of those continuous glucose monitors, you have to be someone who, you know, is required to stick yourself 3 times a day, or I don't know what, and you hear different things. If you know, what do you have to do if you are, you know, a MassHealth recipient to be able to qualify for a continuous glucose monitor for diabetes monitoring?
This is Lori. I think that it depends on the prime. It depends if you have two types of insurance. Some people have primary insurance, like private insurance or Medicare. That would be their primary. And then MassHealth would be the secondary insurance. Or if it's a member that is MassHealth only, MassHealth does cover it, but there has to be a prior authorization in place. So documentation needs to be completed and the prescription filled out for that continuous monitor. Suppose that it was denied from MassHealth, there would be an explanation within that denial. And in that denial letter, if there was something unclear to you about the reason for the denial, that would be something that you could reach out to us for, and we could help investigate that and try to troubleshoot it with the doctor to see why the authorization was denied and then figure out how to get it potentially covered.
This is Leslie, and with the Freestyle glucose monitor that you've just mentioned, I believe it was a little bit while back, but we have seen some cases come in regarding that specific type, the Libre as well. And just, it really, as Lori said, look, depends on the plan that you're covered under. But if MassHealth for any reason denies the request, we are definitely here to help. And just, you know, going to sound like a broken record, definitely if it's unclear or if the reasons don't make sense, or if you disagree with the reasons, there are steps that you can take. There are rights that you have as a MassHealth member. So definitely ways to contest that.
This is Lori. Also related to an accessibility issue, there can be denials related to accessibility, and the plan might not realize that that's a reasonable accommodation under your healthcare needs. So that's certainly something we could help to investigate with and to look into further.
This is Sharon, and I was wondering about whether you can help visually impaired MassHealth members get onto large print or Braille notifications of upcoming events or notices about changes in their health plan. Is that available to people now?
Leslie, do you want to answer?
This is Leslie, sure. Definitely, you as a MassHealth member have the right to request those materials, whether they're in Braille or large print or in a language other than English. Those should definitely be available. However, we know that it's been tough for people to consistently get those materials in the formats that they need. So we've heard of folks who have reached out to MassHealth customer service, or maybe they reached out to their health plan. They put in that request, you know, that they They have reasonable accommodations that they need to be fulfilled, and they get, you know, their first mailing is in the correct format, and then the next mailing isn't. So we've definitely seen that happen, where we will then intervene and let the right people at the plans know that this is something that should be corrected. And then from then moving forward, we usually don't have any more issues.
Thank you.
Lori, did you want to add something?
Yes, this is Lori. And just to add, exactly like you're right, the plan sometimes might not realize that it's a reasonable accommodation, a little bit off the point, but I have a blind member who has been in contact with me related to transportation, and they need assistance from the car to the door of the provider's office. Transportation scheduled and arrived, and this person is actually blind and legally deaf blind. And they felt that the driver was rude and that the driver was awkward and didn't want to get out of the car and walk to the door. And so in touch with their plan, the plan documentation didn't actually annotate that the person was deafblind and that needed that special accommodation to get from the car safely to the door. So the plan was able to make that notation and document that in their system. And that's just one thing that if they hadn't, if that hadn't been brought to our attention, then we wouldn't have been able to bring it to the attention of the plan, and it might not have ever been corrected.
Okay, Elizabeth, you can unmute.
Hello, everyone. I came in rather late. So you were talking about if people need help with any of medical issues, they're to contact you. And who are we contacting? Like I said, I came in late, so I don't know who you people are, where you're from.
So this is Lori. Hi, Elizabeth. I'm Lori Seedman, and I'm the Director of Deaf Services at the My Ombudsman Program. And I'm here with Leslie Diaz. She's the Director of the My Ombudsman Program. We are a nonprofit organization that helps MassHealth members access their benefits and services under their MassHealth plan. We help with people who may have accessibility issues or prescription issues, or insurance denials, or provider access problems, any benefits and services that would be covered, we are able to assist when members have some sort of barrier.
How do we get in touch with you if we have any concerns?
This is Lori. You're welcome to contact us by phone or email. We do have a website. Our email address is info@myombudsman.org. That's our general info box. The phone number is 855-781-9898. Leslie, am I right on that?
That's right.
Okay, that's our general phone number for the call center. So you're able to use that phone number or send an email. We can also, you can access our information on the website, which is www.myombudsman.org. And when you're contacting us, you will receive a live person on the phone, and that is one of our community liaisons who would take some general intake information. And we have a variety of ombudsmen working on our team to which your case would be assigned. I primarily handle deaf and hard of hearing cases, and then we have other ombudsmen that speak other languages so that people can be handled by someone who has the equivalent abilities to whatever the members may need.
This is Leslie, and we're happy to repeat that information as well and share it with y'all afterwards. But you can always, volunteering Sharon and David and Tim here if you wanted to reach out to them first, and they can reach out to us. We're, Lori and I are available pretty much all the time, as you can see by our being here at 8 p.m. But definitely reach out, whether it's through our main line or one of us individually. We're happy to talk to chat with you to see if it's something we can help with.
This is Tim. So Leslie, are you, because of COVID, are you all working from home or are you still working out of an office?
This is Leslie. We are all working remotely. Yes. So we have folks They're pretty much everywhere, all over the state. One person currently in New Hampshire with her family. So we'll see what happens if we're ever able to get back into the office. We were previously in Malden. I'm not sure if any of y'all from Malden or from the area, which is, we were in a great spot, but definitely due to COVID, we actually, I think, shut down the day before or the day after it was announced that the COVID emergency was happening. So luckily, many of us already worked remotely because many of our staff have disabilities. So we have some accommodations to work from home, or in general, our management team has been pretty great and just always let us work once a week from home. So we've had that luxury, I would say, of that flexibility. How about all of you? Are you all still remote or working from a office?
This is Sharon. I work from home. One thing I wanted to check about was if you are familiar with ScriptTalk and Accessible Pharmacy. Those are two excellent ways that blind people are using to get their medications labeled. And I just wanted to make sure that they were in your jargon.
This is Leslie. Sharon, thank you. That is really helpful for me. I'm not familiar with them. Could you repeat the names again? ScriptTalk and...
Well, ScriptTalk is produced from Envision America. And what it is, it's a machine that pharmacies use to... And they put an RFID chip on the bottom of the medication bottle. And this machine... can speak it, can read it. And there's also a ScriptTalk app that you can have on your phone, which I do. And if I'm not sure of what a bottle is, I put the bottle on this camera and it reads me what it is. And it can read information about how often you take it, when the refills are due, that kind of thing. And as far as I know, and anybody correct me if I'm wrong about this, this is available to anyone who is legally blind. It's the machine is given to you on loan for as long as you need it. And other pharmacies are, like CVS, are doing, they're doing their own accessible, what's the word, prescription. Accessible Pharmacy is out of Philadelphia, and they're there for people who need a little more assistance. And that might be getting things brailled or having the pills dosed for them so that everything is all set up. So those are two very good venues that I think would be good for you to know about. I hope I'm representing them correctly. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add on that?
This is Tim. I think you covered it pretty well, Sharon.
Yeah, they're very good. This is Sharon. They have made a real difference because especially as people get older and maybe have five or six bottles, you know, prescriptions, it's hard to tell them apart. Envision America, Envision America for ScriptTalk and Accessible Pharmacy Services for the Blind. And I'm not quite sure what their actual website is, but they are actually getting into even helping with home COVID testing at this point for blind people.
This is Leslie. That's actually, you bring up a great point. Thank you so much for the for those two names, by the way. I definitely wrote them down, and they do have been Googling them as we speak. That's great that they're offering COVID help with COVID vaccines now, because one of the things that we wanted to make sure that people knew about during, especially during the vaccine rollout, but even now, if people still needed help, if for whatever reason they couldn't sign up for a vaccine very easily, we try to help them with that too. It used to be more what needed back when it wasn't so readily available and when people, I think, were just starting to figure out the process. But that's great that they're finally doing that, making it more accessible, getting it at home. and all that. So really good to know. Thank you.
Go ahead, CJ.
This is CJ. I'm now with Fallon and they have me under Navicare. Does that mean that I'm not in MassHealth anymore?
This is Lori. That's a really good question. That is a MassHealth health plan. So yes, you're still under MassHealth. Fallon is a MassHealth health plan. So just to clarify, MassHealth is the umbrella of all of over 30 different plans. Fallon is one of them. So you would still be considered a MassHealth member.
Okay, thank you.
Technically, you would have two cards. You'd have your MassHealth blue ID card and then your Fallon card that would identify you as the plan, as the coverage, what your primary care doctor is, and that, you know, depending on where you lived and that sort of thing. So you would have the two identification cards that would identify you as a MassHealth member who was specifically in the Fallon plan.
Thank you.
This is Leslie. That reminds me also, thank you for that question, because we, in addition to Fallon, there's also other types of health plans out there. So there's One Care plans, Senior Care Options plans. I believe Navicare is one of the Senior Care Options plans. And those are for folks who have both Medicare and MassHealth, and they're in these programs that combine both benefits. So we help people who are in those plans as well. So even if you have both Medicare and MassHealth, we can try to help.
I do have one. This is Sharon about transportation, MassHealth transportation during the during the pandemic. I know that some of the paratransit operators in the beginning of the pandemic were only taking one person on a vehicle at a time, and now they've started to share rides again. And I wonder if that's the case with MassHealth and if there have been a lot of delays in getting people to doctor's appointments during the pandemic.
This is Leslie. I'm happy to answer that. Yes, during the pandemic, we have definitely heard about folks having more trouble getting to some of their appointments. However, also the number of appointments that were getting made were much fewer than usual, because I think it was at that point that most of the emergency and urgent situations were getting triaged. So a lot of the typical PCP appointments and specialty appointments weren't getting made as frequently. But for those folks who, MassHealth members who did get have appointments and still, you know, needed the paratransit vehicles, they were abiding, you know, by the one passenger policy, although sometimes, you know, we'd hear about things like the driver wasn't wearing their mask properly, or they didn't seem to sanitize, use hand sanitizer before escorting them to the vehicle. So there are different types of complaints that arose that we tried to handle directly with either the transportation company or with MassHealth if we had to. And now, you know, we're not seeing as many complaints coming up about that, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means that we're not necessarily hearing about them. So if they are something that comes up, and if we see that there's a pattern or that they're happening more frequently than usual, at least as far as what we know, then we would definitely want MassHealth to be aware of that. I hope that answers your question. I'm trying to think if there are other examples that maybe we've seen recently, but those are the ones that come to mind.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
This is Lori. Just to go back a little bit, as far as the plans, to clarify, maybe some of you know and some of you might not be as familiar. Leslie had mentioned One Care. There's CCA and there's Tufts Health Unify and Tufts Health Together. There are different kinds of plans, as we mentioned, Fallon and BMC and Tufts, different organizations that are all connected with MassHealth. But even if you have a question that you're unsure about your coverage, we're able to check the system. We are able to check to see and confirm people's insurance types that you may have. That is one of the pieces of information that we are able to see from MassHealth's perspective. We mentioned that we don't have access to other particular records, but we could see your plan type and the plan name and your coverage. And if you're unsure, you could certainly reach out to us with any questions that you might have.
I don't want to keep this going. It's getting late, but I wonder if maybe you could give contact information one last time.
So this is Lori. The phone number, we're going to go with the test here, 855-781-9898. That is the call center. You can do info@myombudsman.org for an email. And the website is www.myombudsman.org.
Would you mind spelling that, please? Might not be familiar, that word.
Right. That's my, like M-Y, ombudsman, O-M, B like boy, U, D like dog, S like Sam, M-A-N, ombudsman.org.
Perfect. Thank you.
This is Leslie. Sorry, Sharon. I was going to say that if you all would like our direct emails as well, it's our first initial and last name, also at myombudsman.org. And I can send that to you afterwards, just as I can send it in a list so that it's easy to keep track of. And Laura, you have your video phone number too, in case any folks want to reach you via video phone for our deaf and hard of hearing members. So I can provide that phone number too.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for coming and for listening. And thank you to this really good group of people who are doing an invaluable service, because as they mentioned, MassHealth is a huge conglomerate, big umbrella, and it's very easy to get confused.